Fondation Radio. Society has been wrecked by economic improprieties, political maneuvers, moral decadence, and debasing sociocultural practices. In the face of these vices, which have kept our society at the brink of collapse, constructive information remains the deal breaker. Join our formidable team of reporters on News Extra with incisive investigative reporting and analysis tailored to reshape our society and give it a moral face. News Extra is a production of the news service of Foundation Radio that uncovers striking societal concerns and demystifies them. Get the deepest understanding about economic, political, and sociocultural issues in News Extra. News Extra, your window to constructive criticism. Fondation Radio.
Hello there. I am Mokun Johnny Nelson with another edition of News Extra on Foundation Radio. We are on FM 100 in Bamenda in the northwest region of Cameroon. Stay tuned for commentaries, interviews, and analysis of the major news events of the week ending. When President Paul Biya and wife Chantal left the country bound for New York to attend the 71st session of the UN General Assembly, a statement from the civil cabinet of the presidency of the republic informed Cameroonians of this travel plan. This was a laudable initiative, as we of News Extra have always decried the mystery some want to create around our president. But we will not also stop to worry about the fact that Cameroonians have not been informed about the whereabouts of the president since the session ended. Other leaders have since returned to their various countries. Cameroonians should be wondering what their president should be doing abroad when he just returned from a brief private stay in an unknown European country, as put by the civil cabinet in a press release. His country people will even be more perplexed, given that while world leaders attended the funeral of emblematic Israeli Prime Minister Shimon Peres, their president Paul Biya once again made prevail his diplomacy of absence. This, we have always argued, does not augur well for the international image of Cameroon. Though some of his cohorts will argue otherwise, just as some overzealous cronies of the SDF chairman Ni John Frundi attempted to debunk facts that the chairman was having some health worries and was receiving medical attention at the Shishong Hospital. Fortunately, and true to himself, Chairman Ni John Frundi shamed them all and told Cameroonians the truth about his health situation. This is what Cameroonians want from their leaders across the political divide. Ni John Frundi is back from his health check, where he was operated upon, and is doing strong. This is News Extra on Foundation Radio. If you skipped any of our newscasts during the week, you may have no regrets after listening to Priscilla Ninge's Week in Retrospect.
Within the region, the week began with a regional restitution forum organized by the Mbororo Social and Cultural Development Association, BOSCUDA, and its partners. The forum featured the In Search of Common Ground project and brought together stakeholders in the Farmer Grazer Commission chain, top administrative, educational, traditional authorities, as well as members of the civil society. The governor of the Northwest region, Adolphe Lili Lafrique, chaired the forum. Living Alternative for the Aging, Laughter NGO, organized a sensitization seminar as a prelude to the celebration of the 26th edition of the International Day of Older Persons. The seminar saw performances from laughter contestants in dancing, singing, eloquent speaking, and educative talks. This was crowned by the election of Mr. and Miss Laughter. Keeping up with the trend was a hope for the needy association Hofna with its partner Sister Speak 237, who handed over cash prizes to deserving poets who made sensible use of their pens and papers. The event brought in students and teachers from three secondary schools in the region, mainly Progressive Comprehensive College, GBHS Bamenda, and Downtown. Immaculate Fogwe was elected Miss Tourism for the Northwest region and was to compete for the national title. Meanwhile, the World Tourism Day was commemorated on Tuesday this week under the theme Universal Accessibility to the Tourism Industry. The mayor for the Bamenda 3 Council gave up to October 15 for all NGOs and voluntary institutions to duly register themselves. He said the move was to ensure better collaboration for the development of the municipality. The execution rate of projects earmarked for the first phase of the 2016 year by the Bamenda City Council was revealed to stand at 22%. This was done by the government delegate to the Bamenda City Council, Vincent Jindomo, during the midway evaluation session of the council. The 2016-2017 academic year of Government Technical High School, GTHS Bamenda, was officially launched at the GTHS campus with a call from Principal Second Taxis Samuel to be meticulous in their roles as teachers and students to ensure better results in end-of-course examinations. An accident that occurred as the week was rounding off around the food market left 16 persons, including a six-month-old baby, injured. It involved a rough cat having brake failure and running into the victims, who were all rushed to the regional hospital Bamenda. The Cameroon Teachers Trade Union, CATU, celebrated their 20th anniversary at the Bamenda Congress Hall in a ceremony that was presided at by the governor of the Northwest region. On the national scene, the week began with checks on yellow taxis and private vehicles which are not physically fit to ply the road. This was in the central region and was carried out by the forces of law and order. This in preparation for the upcoming AFCON Women's Tournament and the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations. A vast sensitization campaign on modern contraceptives was organized in Garoua by the North Regional Delegation of Public Health to enable young people to make informed choices on their sexual and reproductive lives. As the week continued, some four people, three belonging to one family, were all killed in a fatal road accident along the Douala Yaoundé Highway. A two-day workshop to investigate the National Inventory of Cameroon's Cultural Heritage took place in Douala. This as part of ways to protect the cultural heritage of Cameroon. Cameroon also celebrated World Rabies Day with many vaccination exercises carried out in different health centers and neighborhoods in the various regions. State universities throughout the national territory also opened their doors officially this week, while Higher Education Minister Jacques Pham Dongo centered on the professionalization of higher education and the improvement of research and online libraries during a cabinet meeting that focused on the start of the 2016-2017 academic year. In health, researchers found out that the makeup of bacteria found in human feces may influence the level of dangerous fats in our bodies. Some of these bacteria was discovered to be inherited. The world's first drug specifically designed to treat tuberculosis in children was launched in Kenya. The world's first baby with three parents was born. The five-month-old boy had the usual DNA from his mother and father and a tiny bit of genetic code from a donor. out of the country, an Islamist militant from Mali pleaded guilty to destroying historic shrines in the city of Timbuktu and was sentenced by the criminal court in The Hague to 9 years in prison. Donald Trump accused a moderator of the first U.S. presidential debate, Lester Hoff, of being tougher on him than on Hillary. Reports revealed that a police in California shot dead a Ugandan refugee when he pulled an object that turned out to be an e-cigarette from his pocket and pointed at the police. Dozens of children in Darfur were alleged to have been killed by chemical weapons dropped on them by their own government. The Nigerian currency, the Naira, also fell more than 5% to a record low against the dollar on the black market. In sports, the Indomitable Lionesses began their sixth training session in their camp in Akono on the outskirts of Yaoundé, Central Region of Cameroon, ahead of their four friendly encounters as well as upcoming AFCON. Lions team captain Stéphane Bia was dropped from a list of 23 shortlisted to play against Algeria next month. The Platinum Tournament, organized by the Cameroon Teachers Trade Union, CATU, also came to an end with GBH's Bamenda winning the football finals 5-3 in a penalty shootout against St. Agnes Complex. GBH's Bamenda also won in handball 8-7. Those were some of the major events that made news this week.
A succinct retrospective there from Priscilla Ninge. Each time senior councillors of the Bamenda City Council meet, city dwellers expect that for once and at last the people's representative will debate on lasting solutions to their plight of bad roads, poor street lighting, urban disorder, waste disposal, among others. But each time, it seems they have to wait for another session. Over midterm into 2016, just 22% of projects earmarked for this year have been executed. Given that we are gradually getting to the end of the year, will the City Council be able to attain its objectives? Lem Sandra Fomujang came out with this worry after the midterm session of the Bamenda City Council that held on Thursday, September 29, 2016.
So much still has to be done as far as the 2016 project's execution are concerned. This was the revelation made during the second session of activities of the first 6 months of the year 2016. The council session was chaired by the government delegate to the Bamenda City Council, Vincent Njindumu, and in attendance, the SDO from MESAM, the mayors of Bamenda 1, 2, and 3 councils, as well as grand councillors from the various councils. Given that it is the evaluation of mid-year projects, and mindful of the fact that we are just 3 months to the end of the year, it is important to note that so much still has to be done as far as 2016 project executions are concerned. According to the government delegate, the mid-year evaluation percentage for 2016 project execution stands at about 22%, mostly for projects whose incomes have been received so far, implying a lot of income is needed to complete and execute other projects still pending. Projects like Ed Road maintenance, box culverts and bridges have been completed, especially at the end of September, with the hope of completing other projects by November this year. With the City Council's budgetary situation and evaluation, there are statistics-exempted subventions that come in from the state as well as FIECOM. Listen to Vincent Dumo as he gives his remarks.
We have done projects to the level of the income that we've received so far. So if we had for 2016 year evaluation about 22%, we have just executed projects to that percentage. And I'm also sure that being around now at the end of September, a lot has been executed to the extent that you can be sure that by November ending, most of the projects that were earmarked for the City Council would have been completely executed. I talk about the first phase of the triennial contracts of about 500 and something million francs. I talk about the air routes maintenance, some of the box culverts, the bridges, and so on and so forth. No, if I tell you that 22% is just a figure, because we did not include all the subventions from the state, we did not include all the monies coming from FECOM and all those kind of things. We did that deliberately, so that but at moment, most of those things have been included, and we have done far, far, far more work than what was actually indicated in the accounts.
To the common man and to an onlooker, he or she will have a different view and perception as to the developmental progress in the city of Bamenda. Are they the poor nature of our roads, especially the Santa Babaju stretch of road, the main streets in the Bamenda city, or is it the continuous piling and heaps of dirt you find everywhere? These are just a few of the problems the Bamenda man faces. Given we are gradually getting to the end of the 2016 year and the fact that just few of the many contracts have been completed, is the council really sure to meet up with its expectations and objectives by November this year, as the government delegate says? This is certainly a deep dream, but we pray and hope to get to reality someday.
Lem Sandra Fomujang, Bamenda city dwellers have been used to such promises that they can hardly say come to fruition. The Executive Secretary General of the Cameroon Teachers Trade Union, CATU, has emphatically kicked against any attempts at introducing the Francophone system of education into the Anglo-Saxon system that obtains in the Northwest and Southwest regions. Tassan Wilfred was speaking during the 20th anniversary celebrations of the union at the Bamenda Congress Hall on September 30th. Ranibel Sato picks up that and reports that the commemoration also turned out to be an ecumenical service to pray for the nation.
Some administrative authorities in the Northwest region, members of the education family, legal minds, and other top notches of society on Friday, September 30, joined the Cameroon Teachers Trade Union CATU celebrate their 20 years of advocacy and existence at the Bamenda Congress Hall. The platinum celebrations became more or less of an ecumenical service as CATU officials engaged all to join them in praying for the children placed under their care, as well as the insecurity in the northern region and the refugee situation in the eastern part of the country. In his welcome address, the Secretary General of CATU, Wilfred Tassang, beckoned on the government, a representative in the person of the Northwest Regional Governor Adolphe Lelelafrik, to ensure the recruitment of the many unemployed graduates from teacher training colleges still roaming the streets to cater for the needs of the growing number of pupils and students in the region. He equally expressed the satisfaction and the firm stance of CATU against the Francophonization of the Anglo-Saxon system of education, especially at the University of Bamenda. The anniversary celebrations equally was a platform for the launch of the platinum magazine called The Teacher's Voice. The teachers were equally empowered with talks on teacher and integrity and education for the healing of the land.
Let's now listen to an excerpt of the speech of CATU's Executive Secretary General, Tassang Wilfred.
For over 20 years, CATU has impacted the education industry in Cameroon. As a veritable teachers' trade union, we do not focus only on bread and butter. Our reflections are citizen-driven. We have evolved over two decades with periodic plans, and we are glad that history is yet to judge us wrong on any of our actions, and therefore we call you to work with us. 1996 to 2000, advocacy over this period brought about the special status for teachers. As we celebrate today, we launch a fervent appeal for the full implementation of this document in recognition of the teacher as a nation builder. Between 2001 and 2005, our cry on the acute shortage of teachers in the primary schools led to recruitment of teachers to meet the needs. In the context of this celebration, we appeal for a presidential waiver for these academic soldiers to be integrated fully into the public service. See them, they are there in numbers in training. They are in the streets in their thousands who have been trained unemployed. Yet, we have government schools, primary schools with only one teacher and two teachers. We have a sustained advocacy on Anglophone technical education, which saw the birth of the University of Bamenda and its affiliate schools of education, now expanding into technology and proudly poising as the university of the future. And so we want to condemn in very strong terms the very flagrant disregard and violation of the presidential creating this Anglo-Saxon citadel of knowledge. Our memoranda on this matter are countless and still relevant, and we are determined more than ever before to attack and to redress this injustice.
We hope that it was an anniversary with hopes as teachers prepare to celebrate their day next week, that is on October 5th. Cameroon is graduating from the system of maintaining manual land records as it has announced the embracement of the computerized land system. One of the justifications for this switchover is that there will be the limitation of corruption and embezzlement recorded in the land sector. Even though this move has often been backed by economic advisors and international financial agencies, Lancer Vela picks holes, arguing that it may boomerang on the poor.
The government of Cameroon has announced the computerization of the land system in the country. It has been echoed that the aim of this ambitious project is to limit the effects of corruption and embezzlement recorded in the land sector, and that scanning will not be limited only to land titles, as the project is also targeting the computerization of all services and procedures affecting land, real estate, furniture, and protecting people. Cameroon has recorded in this sector fake duplicates of land titles and the double sale of land, sometimes with the complicity of notaries. The system of maintaining manual land records and even collecting land revenue is no doubt outdated and distorted. However, computerizing land records is not a panacea to end corruption and irregularities. Computerizing urban and rural land records does have different implications, and each poses its own set of unique challenges. The manual land administration system is justifiably criticized for having an adverse effect on poor farmers who lack resources and leverage to grapple with cumbersome bureaucratic processes, making them vulnerable to the predatory behavior of corrupt officials. Yet, the computerization of land records and the resulting possibility of generating more expeditious tenancy agreements will not necessarily make life any easier for poorer farmers who form the bulk of our rural population. Poor farmers, including sharecroppers and women, face many other issues when it comes to access to land. Women in rural areas often get cheated out of their fair share of inherited agricultural land by their brothers, sometimes with complicity of some state officials. But these above-mentioned issues cannot be effectively addressed by simply digitizing land records. It is simplistic to believe that the establishment of computerized land record service centers will automatically enable greater transparency and also fix the existing discrepancies in favor of poorer segments of the society. Digitization, it is feared, will even lead to increased corruption and further inaccessibility of records for poor farmers due to problems like illiteracy, lack of awareness, and the need to travel to service centers located far away from their villages. There are immense doubts as to whether sharecroppers will be added onto official computerized records whose names are not present in the manual records. questions can also be asked if the authorities concerned have checked if women landowners are actually involved in cultivation and if they have access to its revenues, and also why a majority of women continue to hand over cultivable land they inherit to their brothers. Instead of assuming that computerization of existing land records will deliver a range of positive benefits, our policymakers could ensure that ongoing computerization programs include measures for checking the authenticity of existing land records to ensure that marginalized segments such as poor tenants and women can no longer be cheated. An even more significant step would be to use computerization of records to tax large landholders more effectively, or use landholding records to undertake effective land redistribution, which does not seem to be the intention of the current schemes. Thus, as things stand, it seems that large landowners and those who can afford to rent agricultural lands on lease will be the primary beneficiaries of land record computerization within our rural areas, thereby rubbishing the innovation.
Vela, the issue of land remains a jigsaw puzzle in Cameroon. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton held their first presidential debate early this week. Though no Cameroonian will be voting next month, we are obsessed with everything about elections, from the acrimonious campaigning to Donald Trump's hairstyle. Presidential elections will next take place in Cameroon, hopefully in 2018. Francis Ngwaniba has been asking why we cannot hold a similar presidential debate and make our election as engaging as the one in America. This is his reflection in this edition of News Extra.
Questions, 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 and more questions. Most of them usually have no answers, but I will continue asking, because that is what I was trained to do. Ask questions. So here we go. In far away America, a certain Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, who have been battling for the heart and soul of America, held their first presidential debate early this week. Depending on whose side you stand on, one of them won. Winning here is used metaphorically, because there was no elections. Was it Clinton for you or Donald the Duck? In small Cameroon, where elections are one big joke, I'm very amused why we are so obsessed with these elections in America. Considering that we will probably never watch any similar clash between a Frundi, a Paul Biya, or an Adamu Damjoya, why are we all so concerned with who becomes the next president of America? On Facebook, on Cameroon forums, on chats in bars, and in off licenses? Friends and acquaintances debate, they argue, they shout, each one claiming their candidate is the right one. Inside, I smile to myself. None of them will be voting in November. Why don't they instead campaign to get a similar debate in Cameroon? Or let me ask this unanswered question. Why are we jealous of what Americans have? Freedom of expression. Why don't we petition the Elections Commission in Cameroon to institute presidential debates before we are all called to vote for who will become the next president? Well, the Election Commissions in Cameroon has no teeth, it cannot bite, and is primarily there to perpetuate the powers of the ruling LDPC. So no need petitioning? I don't think so. I think we should still petition. We should still campaign for an independent electoral commission. A few people I asked told me we are obsessed with American elections because whoever leads America controls world politics. The American president is the leader of the free world. From Sonny Bayern to Omar Songwe and a good number of friends who are now posting almost religiously Facebook updates of the trends in the American elections, I want to ask them this. Why don't you instead campaign for free and fair elections in Cameroon? It would be nice, however, if we move that debate and bring it back home. We need to start campaigning to get people to register to vote, defend their votes after they do so, insist on getting similar presidential campaigns, etc., etc. We need to campaign vigorously for an independent electoral commission.
And if possible, look for our very own Obama to stand against whoever the LDPC decides to be their flag bearer in the 2018 presidential elections. Our chosen candidate will represent the aspirations of the masses, and we too will be able to stand up and shout, "Yes, we can! Yes, we can! We can make Cameroon great again." If that happens, we'll have learned something from the Yankees. Until that happens, however, I will continue asking, why are we obsessing about an elections in faraway America that would do very little to change our politics at home?
Here is my request. You don't have to play it, but I hope you'll do your best. I've been listening to your show on the radio, and you seem like a friend to me.
Pilot of the airwaves, ending that presidential reflection by Francis Ngwaniba, in the hope that we too shall be there someday. Yes, we can, if only those holding the strings of democracy in this country let it go.
There are people who can walk away from you, and hear me when I tell you this. When people can walk away from you, let them walk. I don't want you to try to walk another person into staying with you, loving you, calling you, caring about you, coming to see you, staying attached to you. I mean, hang up the phone. When people can walk away from you, let them walk. Your destiny is never tied to anybody that left. The Bible said that they came out from us, that it might be made manifest that they were not for us. For had they been of us, no doubt they would have continued with us. People leave because they are not joined to you. And if they are not joined to you, you can't make them stay. Let them go. And it doesn't mean that they are a bad person. It just means that their part in the story is over. And you've got to know when people's part in your story is over, so that you don't keep trying to raise the dead. You've got to know when it's dead. You've got to know when it's over. Let me tell you something. I've got the gift of goodbye. It's the 10th spiritual gift. I believe in goodbye. It's not that I'm hateful. It's that I'm faithful. And I know whatever God means for me to have, He'll give it to me. And if it takes too much sweat, I don't need it. Stop begging people to stay. Let them go. If you're holding on to something that doesn't belong to you and was never intended for your life, then you need to let it go. If you're holding on to past hurts and pains, let it go. If someone can't treat you right, love you back, and see your worth, let it go. If someone has angered you, let it go. If you're holding on to some thoughts of evil and revenge, let it go. If you're involved in a wrong relationship or addiction, let it go. If you're holding on to a job that no longer meets your needs or talents, let it go. If you have a bad attitude, let it go. If you keep judging others to make yourself feel better, let it go. If you're stuck in the past and God is trying to take you to a new level in Him, let it go. If you're struggling with the healing of a broken relationship, let it go. If you keep trying to help people who won't even try to help themselves, let it go. If you're feeling depressed and stressed, let it go. If there is a particular situation that you are so used to handling yourself and God is saying, take your hands off it, then you need to let it go. Let the past be the past. Forget the former things. God is doing a new thing for you. Let it go. Get right, get left. Think about it and then let it go. The battle is the Lord's. Next, stop and think and appreciate God's power in your life for doing what you know is pleasing to Him. Yes, I love my God. He is my fountain of life and my Savior. He keeps me going day and night. Without Him, I am no one. But with him, I can do everything. Christ is my strength. This is a simple test. If you love God and you are not ashamed of all the great things that he has done for you, send this to everyone you know. God loves you and watches over you every day.
This is News Extra on Foundation Radio. We are broadcasting live from Bamenda in the northwest region of Cameroon. I am Mokun Johnny Nelson, anchoring. The 2016 theme for the Day of the Elderly, celebrated every October 1st, is Take a Stand Against Ageism. In relation to this, Living Alternative for the Aging, LAFTA NGO, organized an event that brought back memories of their youthful days. Priscilla Ninge celebrated with her grandparents and brought back this report.
Ahead of the 26th edition of the International Day of Older Persons on October 1, Living Alternatives for the Aging, LAFTA NGO, organized a valorizing activities seminar for the old on Wednesday, September 28 at the Bamenda Congress Hall, which brought together over 2,500 participants and 12 contestants who took part in activities including singing, dancing, eloquent public speaking, and so much more. The event, which was presided at by Governor Adolphe Lafrique in the presence of the founder of LAFTA, Madame Elizabeth Makwang Mufo, was an occasion for elderly persons to come together, benefit from entertainment as well as educative talks on good nutrition and diet for the elderly, and also ways of stress management. This was facilitated by doctors and resource persons from the Cameroon National Social Insurance Fund, CMPS. Among the participants, 12 members of the LAFTA Association who were 70 years and above took part in the contest for Mr. and Ms. LAFTA, with Mr. Anyentor Vincent winning the position of Mr. LAFTA and Madame Muma Mary Dolarosa grabbing that of Ms. LAFTA. Ms. LAFTA-elect Madame Muma, in the following interview, tells us her feelings and what she envisions and plans to pursue as the present Ms. LAFTA.
I am Mami Mary Dolorosa. We thought it was just some fun. No, it will come to this. I'm grateful. It is my wish that LAFTA grows in the quarter. Already I've been doing small things about occupying myself. I have a garden of small farms. I have a little poultry in my house. It doesn't have to be much, so I will encourage more people.
Mr. LAFTA Anyentor Vincent also had this as goal as new Mr. LAFTA.
After my 6 month, I've been elected one of 16 Mr. LAFTA. And so much to bring the old people together, make sure that we use our capacity coming up.
The founder of LAFTA, Madame Elizabeth Makwang Mufo, now gives us the inspiration and reason behind the creation of this organization.
By my mother. Unfortunately, she's late. She was laid to rest 2 months ago. My mother lived with me for a year, and as time went on, I realized that not only her health was deteriorating, but I realized that I was becoming more and more unhappy. And I did everything I could. She wasn't responding. So I slept over, I prayed for about 2 weeks. And this idea, because I thought it wasn't conformity with our culture, and as said, the symbol, of course, I was faced and stuff like that. Went on like an evangelist, and that the world has evolved. I've gone, they're living in a setting that used a very important element, African culture, you know. So we need to do something, we need to anticipate, we need to move on and see what other measures we could take accommodate this new phenomenon that we're beginning to experience. And so started, and slowly people started appreciating it. They moved in and started organizing seminars, and they would come. And then I realized that they were so happy, and it served like a platform for them to meet each other, network, interact, and
in all, it was an event that brought smiles to the faces of these elders. From the thrilling performances of the laughter contestants, sumptuous lunch, and the gifts and prizes they went home with, it was a happy affair. Meantime, they had the official crowning of Mr. and Miss Laughter, which was programmed for October 6 at the Frontier Street Junction Queen head office to look forward to.
From one event to the other, from Laughter to Boskuda and Hofner. Now let's start with Hofner. Some are of the opinion that the peace currently reigning in Cameroon is just apparent and cosmetic. What is for sure is that compared to most other countries, especially those of the Central African sub-region, this country is a peace Eldorado. This should be preserved. Hope for the needy. Hofner is now preaching a strange way of doing this, that is, through pens and papers. This novelty was exposed to the Bamenda public during the week, and Lem Sandra Fomujang was part of that event.
Cameroonians, and the young in particular, have been called upon to respect the beliefs and values, live in tolerance with each other as human beings. This call was made during a prize-giving ceremony organized by the Hope for the Needy Association, Hofner, together with its partner, Sister Speak 237. Hofner, which is funded by the Alumni Engagement Innovation Fund through the American Embassy, has as initiative to promote peace, stability, and build tolerant communities for a one Cameroon. To the effectiveness of such a project, Hofner has trained 110 peer educators on religious tolerance through music and dance. A national poem and spoken word contest was also launched, with over 40 poems and words received. It was for this reason the three best participants were awarded cash prizes for their brilliant use of the pen and paper. The event brought in teachers and students from three secondary schools in the region, namely Progressive Comprehensive College, Government Balingual High School Bamenda, and Government Balingual High School Downtown. It was also an opportunity to introduce the Mandela Washington Fellowship for 1,000 Young African Leaders 2017, opened for young people between ages 25 to 35 years. African fellows from this program were also present to give their testimonies and how it was important for every young Cameroonian to believe in his or herself. The CEO of Hofner, Christelle Bay, in her own words, encouraged and reiterated on the fact that the young Cameroonians are the main instruments of peace and so must always air their views and aspirations through their pens and papers.
This initiative is just a part of our ongoing campaign, the One Cameroon Initiative, funded by the Alumni Engagement Innovation Fund through the U.S. Embassy. So we've had a lot of activities. We've actually already trained peer advocates on religious tolerance. We've trained about 110 peer advocates. We've composed the music sung by prominent musicians like Annie Anzwe and Ate Bazo. And we launched a national spoken word and poetry contest where we had over 40 entries, 40 different poems and spoken words entries, and we had to select the best three. So this was an opportunity to tell the world that young people can still use their voices, can still use their pen, can still use their ink to spread messages on peace. And that is where we are engaging young people at different levels all over the national territory to use poetry, to use spoken word, to use their skills, to use drama, to use music to promote tolerance in communities, especially religious tolerance. We don't want to start, it's not about knowing the Bible too much. It doesn't take someone to know the Quran too much before religious tolerance comes in. It's all about accepting and each other's beliefs. Even if we don't validate them, acknowledging that this person believes in this and he has a right to his belief, whatever it is, even if somebody, even if it's not believing about whether God exists or not, just respecting each other's beliefs and values and living together despite our differences. That's all about. We are talking about the religious tolerance in terms of the religious differences, but we don't want to limit it to that. We want to promote tolerance at all levels, given our context in Cameroon, the cultural differences and language differences and all of that. But we want to talk about accepting each other the way we are, accepting each other as human beings.
Our prayer is that peace reign in this country forever. Northwest Regional Governor Adolphe Lily Lafrique has urged stakeholders in the Farmer Grazier Commission to privilege dialogue and partnership in putting an end to farmer grazier conflicts in the region. He was speaking as he opened a restitution forum for a 5-year project dubbed In Search for a Common Ground, organized by the Mbororo Social and Cultural Development Association, BOSCUDA. Ranibel Sato was present for News Extra.
The In Search of Common Ground project is a 5-year project that is aimed at alleviating poverty in the northwest region of Cameroon by reducing conflict between subsistence crop farmers and semi-nomadic Mbororo cattle herders. The conflicts that are said to be the result of increasing competition over access to natural resources such as land and water that are central to the lives and livelihoods of both communities often end up with devastating consequences. It is against this backdrop that BOSCUDA organized a restitution forum with other stakeholders to assist those who usually come into conflict, rather engage in dialogue and resolve their conflicts amicably and on a common ground. It was revealed during that forum that a UNDP report published in 2007 indicated that farmer grazier conflicts were responsible for 70% of poverty levels in the region, mainly because they hindered growth. It equally revealed that the conflicts have triggered the death of many and straining relationships. It was for this reason that BOSCUDA engaged over 70 top-level administrative, educational and traditional authorities, as well as members of the civil society from the 7 divisions of the Northwest region, to deliberate and bring up proposals that will ensure the transformation of agro-pastoral conflicts into mutually beneficial alliances. Among other things, the stakeholders proposed that the results of findings and level of execution of projects be made public so that policymakers can work with the statistics. They equally pointed out the need and importance of more partnerships, pasture improvement, and that a budget be set aside by government for the Agro-Pastoral Commission.
Some farmers and graziers now testify on how such an initiative may go a long way to resolving the near endemic conflicts in the northwest region.
My name is Foy Richard Bang, from Womb, Mainkim Division. Womb, the mother of farmer grazier conflicts in the region. I'm a farmer. My parents were farmers. And I have one thing I inherited from the farmer grazier conflict in the division. I heard about this issue before they died, and in 1981, I saw it myself. When it exploded, and the forces of law and order had to come in, use live bullets on farmers, and more than 7 farmers died. Some were wounded. And till today, some families cannot even recover the loss they incurred on that fateful January 1st, January 1981. Our politicians in Womb, they use this farmer grazier problem as a propaganda. Each time there is election, they say, "I will solve this farmer grazier problem." Because of Dialogue Platform gave birth to Farming Alliance. Farming Alliance has brought about sustainable use of land. Farmer grazier problem died down because when you harvest your crops, cows come in, they put down, you have a good harvest,
the next year, and so on. That is how we are living in Uma.
That way, this they introduce this dialogue platform. I do not say anything where I see farmer, now my enemy as a grazier. I know people say farmer and grazier, they go, she don't solve their problem amicably. Except with the intervention of the due or court, because we solve our problems. But that way, we will be introduced this dialogue platform. Me, I be the secretary of the dialogue platform. From then, we will solve our problem amicably. When farmer bring a problem, we solve it. If the grazier bring a problem, we solve it together. As we solve their problem, I don't be sure from that time up to date, we don't ever go for due or for village council. We solve nearly all problems then for dialogue platform.
Victims of farmer grazier conflict there testifying on the need for peace and dialogue. What are some of the concerns of our listeners? Our later slot is their platform because Foundation Radio is the voice of the voiceless. Priscilla Ninge shall be reading the letters after this short interlude. Andrew of Mile 6 in our first letter writes that adults have a major role to play in the safety of children.
Dear News Extra, I just want to say that we focus our attention so much on warning parents to always be very watchful of their children, forgetting that children are very active and can cause a lot of damage in a second. Why don't we instead try to ensure that we make every environment safe enough for children too? I can't understand how somebody will build a house and leave the septic tank with water inside open that almost led to the death of a child. That is just random carelessness. Please, let us keep the environment safe for all and not just do things because it benefits us and us alone.
Lum Cordelia of Old Town is not happy with the rampant road accidents now in Bamenda.
Dear News Extra, every day we hear of checks on vehicles and every day the accidents keep increasing. One really wonders whether these checks are really for the vehicles or just to make money from bribes, or if they do check the cars to make sure they and the drivers are roadworthy. Just in 2 days, two reckless accidents have left many people in hospitals. And what then are all the checks for if the security of human lives is not guaranteed?
And Madame Dong Constance ends with this reminder to pet owners.
Please, I just want to remind all parents and pet owners that rabies is real and that they should get their dogs and pets vaccinated. It was shocking to see that even as free vaccination was being carried out, pet owners who normally complain of finances still did not get their dogs vaccinated. If we don't vaccinate our pets, we still will be the ones to suffer the effect if our pets bite on people or even on ourselves.
Keep your letters coming on the email radio.foundation@yahoo.com, or you can call us or text us on any of our numbers 672-533-9990 or 695-568480. 13 Southwest Chiefs petition Bia, we will be jailed if you don't stop the cause, the right. Oku Mbesa land dispute resurfaces as a 50-year-old woman is captured and taken to Oku. Conflicting reports about John Fundi's health. These are some of the screaming headlines in the print media published this week. Wunja Leslie read through some other stories and has this press review.
We begin this week's press review with the Guardian Post newspaper, where we read that Senator Etienne Sonkin from the West Region announces that he is going to challenge Ni John Frunzi for the job as chairman of the main opposition party in Cameroon, SDF, during its election scheduled for February 2017. Still on the Guardian Post, we read that Prime Minister Yang's latest decision has disqualified Ndidi Eyango and others who have dual citizenship from contesting in subsequent elections for any administrative position in the new Authors' Rights Corporation to be born and the Cameroon Music Corporation, CMC. According to Prime Minister Yang's latest decision, anyone wishing to hold any administrative or management post in the Music Authors' Rights Corporation must first of all show proof of being a Cameroonian. On to the Times Journal newspaper, we read that according to the new penal code for Cameroon, which came into force on the 12th of July 2016, a jail term of 10 to 20 years or life imprisonment has been declared as punishment for perpetrators of female genital mutilation. The Rambler newspaper reports that Fon of Nkwen, His Royal Highness Fon Azeffor III, has won court case on dynastic quarrel. A Mezam High Court has therefore ruled that current Fon of Nkwen, His Royal Highness Fon Azeffor III, has the right to administer the Nkwen Royal Community Estate, which had been contested by three other princes. The Observer newspaper tells us that Alhaji Baba Amadu Danpulo land crisis in Esu takes a new turn as hunter becomes the hunted. Alhaji Baba speaks out, saying that the land crisis between him and Esu people is baseless, politically instigated, and unnecessarily emanating from high expression of ignorance of the law governing land acquisition in Cameroon. We end this week's press review with this feature story from the Guardian Post. Men sometimes get angry so easily. How can you help your husband out of anger? Get some tips from the Guardian Post. First, you need to be his friend and not his mother. If you find yourself playing the role of a mother to your husband, he will never find it easy to deal with causes and crises of his anger. Secondly, you need to always appreciate him and not knock him. Also, you need to learn how to affirm him, not just criticizing. Those were some of the major stories which caught the attention of the papers. Until next week for what the papers will have to say.
Each time results have to be proclaimed, there is anxiety and near panic. Well, we don't know if that is the case each time Lanza Vela comes up with his score sheet of people and events of the week.
We score the head of state, Paul Biya, extremely low for his endless unannounced and trivial trips to Europe, while other heads of state that partook in the last General Assembly of the United Nations in New York immediately took off for their countries after the summit, President Biya rather boarded his chartered plane for another destination instead of home. Maybe we say Cameroon and not home, since one can conveniently say that the Commander-in-Chief is fonder of Europe than his own country. Millions of Cameroonians still go to bed hungry and count solely on divine mercy to get healed in times of sickness. Yet, hundreds of millions are spent every other time in the name of private presidential visits. We score President Biya extremely low. And we also score Prime Minister Philemon Yang extremely low for ordering Camtel to reverse its decision of suspending its internet network from some ministerial departments that owe it. One would have expected the PM, as witty as he is, to call on the concerned ministries to immediately clear off the accumulated debts owed Camtel for its services, given that they normally have a budget for that. The question that he should have asked himself before passing the order is how Camtel itself is surviving given such huge amounts it is owed, which call PM Yang very, very low.
With that, we come to the end of this edition of News Extra on Foundation Radio. There is no future in any job The future lies in he who holds the job. Let's take the rendezvous for another edition next week. I am yours, Mokun Johnny Nelson. Accept my blessed regards.